This morning, you know, it was last week we were at the Bible study, and we were speaking about from Matthew 5, verse 6, or wherever it is, says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And Jeanette sort of casually, casually, not the right word maybe, but sort of said, "Yeah, that would make a really good topic to share on, to preach on." I'm going, "Yeah, okay, yeah, I know it does." But I went home, and you read that bit of scripture, and what the Lord did was challenge me. So I believe it's only fair that I then pass on the challenge to you. Because what he did when I got home and I was reading that scripture, he brought a few other scriptures to mind. And the question he asked me, he said, "Am I spiritually hungry?" And you know, it's actually a serious question, and I believe you need to reflect on it. I've had to reflect on it. Because you know, when you look at Matthew 6:33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added to you." And it's amazing how we could lose sight. Sorry, can I carry? No more. And we lose sight of what it is we're meant to be. We get in this world here, and we live in a country where we do have basically all our needs met physically. And the problem is, I think, for me, even myself, I found myself being distracted and not keeping my eyes focused on the Lord. You know, we go back to Peter. We all know Peter. When he gets out the boat, he walks on the water and he looks up and he looks at the waves and he's gone. But Jesus reaches out literally instantly, says, "Help me." But at the same time, we're inclined to be a little bit of the same way. And you know, we look at righteousness. What is righteousness? Why should we seek righteousness? You know, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added to you." So there's a promise in that, but it's like in the Old Testament, God said, "If you, I will. If you don't, I won't." You know, so it's a very simple way of looking at the Old Testament, because a lot of law. But you know, sometimes we spend time as Christians expecting God to move in our lives when we are actually not paying attention to what he wants from us. So it's like it very definitely should be a two-way street, but sometimes it's not. We expect God to do things in our life, but we're not actually doing anything about it ourselves. You know what I mean? In other words, God will take care of me. Yeah, no problem. I'll carry on with my own life. And it's a very easy thing to get into. And the righteousness of God, what is the righteousness of God? It is right standing with God. Right standing means what? Living as he desires, obeying what he wants of us, walking in the place where he wants us to be, listening to what he wants us to do, and obeying it, and doing what he wants, being pleasing to God in all that you do. There's a word that is not often used in churches today, and that is, do we desire holiness? And sometimes you use that word holiness, and people sort of, "Well, hold on, wait a minute, you're getting a bit carried away now. I speak Jesus." What is that all about? That is about desiring to be holy. And I hesitate to use an old-fashioned word, but it is exactly what the Lord requires of us. He wants us to be holy. Are we capable of being holy by ourselves? Not a chance. I know me. No, I won't go there, because I know some of you too. And only the peripherals I know. I don't want to get in any deeper, okay, because I get myself in trouble here. But you all know exactly what I'm talking about. And that is, we need to understand that God wants us to live a holy life, and he has given us everything we need to live that godly, holy life, that life of righteousness. Because if we, I'm going to read from you from Galatians 20, sorry, Galatians 2, verse 20. It says, and this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And he was talking to the Galatians, who had started off in the Spirit. They'd started off accepting God's righteousness, accepting Jesus into their lives, and then they decided that God didn't know what he was doing, and they were going to do it themselves. And I wouldn't say anybody else here thinks like that, but I'm sure all of us have been to that place where we're not happy with what God is doing in our lives, or we think we're not happy, and we try to do it ourselves because maybe God needs a hand to help develop me, to grow me. You know, and it's interesting that we all go through stages like that, and I think there are times when we need to reflect on that. You know, and if I look at 2 Corinthians, if we can look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Is that very loud? Sorry, Micah. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It says here, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Our righteousness is found in Jesus. Jesus is the righteousness of God. And when we get born again, we receive that righteousness. But that is when you get born again. Then you've got to live for another 40, 50, in some cases 60 odd years. And it doesn't just stop there. We have a part to play in this. God saves us. And we go, "Thank you, Lord," and carry on with our own lives. Does it happen? No, it doesn't happen to anybody here. I'm sure of that. And so the question is, do we actually hunger for Jesus? Because Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is found in us. He is our righteousness. Do we hunger for him? And when I say hunger, I truly mean, we were talking about it in the Bible study, and that is, have any of you really been thirsty? Truly, truly thirsty in a barren land without water? Have you ever been truly hungry where you're in a place where the cupboard is absolutely bare? Even the mice have left. And you know, that's why Jesus speaks in these terms. He says hunger and thirst, because in those days, people lived hand to mouth. And there were days, I'm sure, there was a lot of fasting in the church, obligatory fasting, because there was no food. So you understand what I'm saying. And when you get to that situation where, and I've had the unfortunate pleasure of experiencing genuine thirst in a truly dry and barren place where there is no water. And it can get quite tricky because you start to panic and look for it. The question is, do we look for Jesus the same way? Do we honestly look for his righteousness the same way that we look after our bodies and our food and our drink? Because I don't know about you, but that's why the Lord has been challenging me. I'm sitting in my little house comfortable. I've got everything I need to eat and drink. And the Lord is saying, "What about me? Do you hunger and thirst me? Are you looking for me? Each and every day." And the interesting thing is that in Exodus, they talk about the manna that came from heaven. Okay, most of you, I'm sure you all know this story. And the Israelites lived off manna for how many years? 40 years. Okay, so the manna itself was the perfect diet. We're going to talk about food now, all right, just for a brief while. The manna was a perfect diet. And Jewish tradition says that whoever ate manna, it tasted to them like their favorite food. You know, that's the rumor or the story, or I won't say fairy tale, but that is what they believe happened, is that manna was absolutely perfect for their diet, and it suited every single person there. Now, you all know diets. I know we were praying for Emma earlier on, and so she is very much aware that there's some things you can't eat. You know, Paul says everything is permissible, but not everything's good for you. So I know some people say, no, you shouldn't eat meat, you only eat veggies, and you should only eat veggies and you shouldn't eat meat. Sorry, Paul, I didn't mean to bring you into this. But, you know, so you look at the situation where we are aware of our diets, the way we eat and drink. But the Lord is wanting us to do what? He's wanting us to look for Jesus. That is where our food comes from. And you know, it's interesting that it's created an interesting, so I'll get back to that. But you know, the manna fulfilled every nutritional bodily function that people required, each individually. So you'd have had all sorts of people there, and that manna dealt with them individually. They had everything they needed for 40 years. Now, obviously, during that 40 years, they got a bit bored with the whole thing. you know, eating manna every day. Wow. But I can understand that. We get the same way. How many of us have been on a diet, and about 4 or 5 days into the diet, there's this table laid before us, and we think, ooh, yeah. And what do? We want it. And we indulge. And dieting, you know, in the worldly sense, is a very difficult thing. And for the Israelites in the desert, it was very difficult. Then they asked for meat. I want meat. Wouldn't have done you any good, Paul. And what did he gave them? Meat. But they still bleated. But the fact is, they had the perfect food. The interesting thing is that they all eventually died. And what Jesus tries to explain, and I will try to explain, is that the food that he was talking about is spiritual food. And we need to be very careful to separate the physical and the spiritual food. You know, we look at our diets, and quite often we want to eat what's not good. So when we're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about the church, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about scriptures, isn't it amazing how we get caught up in the philosophies of man, and what's this guy doing over here? What's that guy doing? Oh yeah, that's the smoke and the bells and whistles over there. Oh, they're very good. And you know what? Some of these philosophy men give me genuine indigestion. In reality too, but spiritually they should give us absolute indigestion. Now fact is they all died. All the Israelites in the desert died. But Jesus himself says, I am the bread of heaven. And in fact, I'd rather read to you from John 6, a lovely scripture. It's something worth looking at. And I'm going to start now by saying, I was praying about whether we have communion today, because I'm going to be speaking about the body and the blood. But I believe it's something we need to reflect on. And it's not just to do it now, but to reflect on it. So next weekend, we will have communion. But we need to give it some serious thought as to what the Lord is saying to us now, to be aware of what he's saying. So I want to read to you from John 6. And I'll start, if I can encourage you, please, to read that chapter. It's a long chapter, but it's a good one. John 6, verse 48. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, believes in me, accepts me as Savior, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh, my body. And the Jews began to argue and said, you know, this doesn't make sense, and what do you mean? And what happens, they were still looking at the fact that he's done all these miracles and fed all the people, and they are in the physical, they're in the flesh. We talk about food. And what Jesus was trying to get across to them, it's a spiritual food. We need to look at it in the spirit. It's not a physical thing. And the next section that I want to read to you is created some serious division amongst the Catholics versus the Protestants. Okay, so we're not going to go there. It's not the place to discuss it. But Jesus said to them in verse 53, I assure you and most solemnly say to you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, unless you believe in me as Savior and believe in the saving power of my blood, which will be shed for you, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, who believes in me, accepts me as Savior, has eternal life. That is, he now possesses it. And I will raise them up from the dead on the last day. For my flesh is true spiritual food, my blood is true spiritual drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood and believes in me and accepts me as Savior remains in me, and I in the same way remain in him. Just as the Father sent me, I live because of the Father, even so the one who believes and feeds on me, believes in me, accepts me as Savior, will also live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. It is not like the manna that our fathers ate and they eventually died. The one who eats this bread, who believes in me and accepts me as Savior, will live forever. And he was trying to get across that he was talking about himself. He is the bread of life. He is what we need to feed on. And the thing is, when he was saying to them, unless you feed on my flesh and drink my blood, and you know, you look at it in context of the Jews, that in the Old Testament, blood is forbidden. Blood is not acceptable. And we're not going to go there today. That's probably a message in itself. But they made sure that the blood was used because the life is in the blood. Always. It has from the beginning of Scripture to the end of Scripture. The life is in the blood. And that's why the blood was used as sacrifices. That is why they, when they had an animal, that blood was sprinkled on the altar. And that is Jesus saying, I will be your sacrificial lamb. And he was saying what's to come. You know, and one of the things is we need to be careful that we don't get the two confused. And quite often we can get the two confused because we live so much in the world today, we forget that we live in a spiritual world as well. And when you begin to look in the spiritual world, and I've been praying for the Lord to give me discernment, and I can honestly say that I'm looking at world affairs or even local affairs in the light of a spiritual warfare, and spiritual what's going on. And it's amazing how your perspective changes. You start to see things differently. And I'll say, hopefully that's a good thing, because you see things, the Lord does show you things. And I said, I shared with you before, you discern things about people, situations, and you know, the first thing you want to do is judge, which is terrifying, but the Lord doesn't give it to you for that. And most of the time, we need to be praying about situations when the Lord shows them to us. You know, we look at this situation of the spiritual versus the physical, and we're looking at temporal, the world here and now, because that is our focus. I don't know about you, but we spend most of our days going out to earn money. In the old days, you'd have been tilling, you'd have been harvesting, and if you didn't, you didn't eat. But the Lord is saying, that's not what I'm talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he carries on, and he says, why are you worrying about what's going on around you? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat? What are you going to worry about, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, what you're going to do with your life? Don't worry, I'll sort that out. Put your trust in me. How many of us, including me, have truly put our trust in him for each and every day? Because I don't know about you, but I wake up sometimes at, you know, you wake up at that 4 o'clock in the morning, and all the bills and the finances and the family and the issues and the relationships all come crowding in. And you get caught up in it. And Jesus says, no, give it to me. You know, do you think anxiety is, having anxiety or being anxious about things, is that a sin? I'm just saying, because we need to be very careful, because the Lord says, trust in me. And anxiety is an indication that maybe we are not relying on the Lord as we should. You know, and one of the things we need to understand is that we do fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I say that in sincerity, because we all do focus on where we live right now, what we're going to eat, what we're going to... We do focus on that. And to come to that place of fully trusting in God, sometimes I think it's definitely a leap of faith. It's that acceptance saying, Lord, I will trust you for everything I have. You know, I'd like to read to you from, I'll just mention, by the way, in the scripture, there's a lot of, Jesus refers often to things like thirsty and the bread and the meat and the blood, but he's trying to put it across so that people understand it, because in those days, they all understood it in very simple terms. And for us, sometimes we are removed from, slaughtering our own chickens and growing our own veggies and things like that. So, but in John 7, John 4, he speaks about living water. So the whole time he's referring to himself as the bread, the water, the blood, the flesh, but it all comes back down to him and him alone. So I'd just like to read to you 1 John 5, verse 12, if you'd like to put that scripture down. Very quiet in here. Okay, 1 John 5. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life, that is eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God by personal faith does not have the life. And we need to focus on the present now, the temporal, and we need to have a view for eternity. And you know, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I definitely didn't have a great view for eternity. But as I get closer to the end, I actually definitely have a different view about eternity, you know, because it gets a bit closer. You know, like my wife is saying to my granddaughter, I've only got a little bit left now. You've got lots left. So don't look at me. I'm happy where I am. You know, she's got to live through all that those many years of life. And when you get born again, what I found is that we end up having different appetite. Is that maybe the right way of saying it? We have different needs. We have different desires. We have different wants, I suppose, as well as needs. But we have a different mindset as to what we need. We begin to change. And the problem that we have with a lot of people, I believe, is that we begin to change. We start going along the line like the Galatians. And then all of a sudden we think, well, I'm okay now. You know, don't worry, Lord. I'll take over. I'll do it myself from here. Don't worry. Don't want to hassle you. I don't know if you've ever thought like that, but I know people who have, including me, because you do like to take your life in your own hands, because there are times, honestly, you don't think God's doing a good enough job. The problem is that we're not seeking him as we should, so we don't know what he wants for us. And you know, he has so much for us, and we sometimes don't actually appreciate what God has got for us. So if I could read to you from 1 Peter 1:23. Hopefully it's the scripture I'm looking for. And we're talking about being born again. So he says, you have been born again, that is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable and immortal. That is through the living and everlasting word of God. You know, and we sometimes don't truly appreciate what God has done for us. We don't. And I'm coming to know in my own life that there are situations and places I find myself and thinking, Lord, what am I doing here? And you can almost hear the Lord going, well, who put you there? You know, because quite often we put ourselves there and we have consequences to face. I'm not saying, you know, the Lord is there for us every time. We're in a place like Peter was sinking, the three boys in the fire, the fourth. You know, the Lord is there for us, but there are still consequences to everything that we do. And we wake up one morning saying, Lord, what am I doing here? And the Lord says, I'm sorry, my son, but you put yourself there. But I'm available to help you. But those consequences are still there. You know, the food that we get from the Lord is perfect. When we look at scripture and we read the word here, I find it amazing that it caters for everybody at every level. Whether you hear, new, beginner, been there 40, 50 years. When you read the scripture, when you read the Bible and you've got the Holy Spirit guiding you, it caters for every single person. It's amazing, you know. I've spoken to my wife. We read a passage of scripture. She brings it out, and she says, "Yeah, I think it means this." And I look at her and go, "What? How do you get that?" And I get something genuinely very different. Something that speaks to me, but it's not the same as the Lord speaking to her. But it's the same piece of scripture. So you tell me how that happens. That's the Holy Spirit showing you what He wants for you to see. And are you available to see it? Because quite often, we try to be like everybody else. Do you think the Lord wants conformity? No. Do you think He wants us all to be the same? Can you imagine? Anyway, but that's why He brings it together. That's why He has a body that He brings together. For each one of us complements the other. We don't need a conformity. We don't even uniformity. We need unity in the Spirit. Because conformity and being brought together, we all look in the flesh. We don't see in the Spirit. We don't see what's going on. We don't see where we fit into the system. You know, it's like, I suppose it's like everybody. Each one of us here, if we had to go on a diet, we would go to a nutritionist. They'll each give us something different. Do you know that? Very few of us would be the same. And the scripture does that for you. Jesus himself is the living word. And he speaks of the fact that he is the living word. And it is him that we need to seek. Do you know, okay, question. Can you read too much scripture? No. I believe it's impossible to read too much scripture. But the question that you need to ask yourself is, are you relying on the Holy Spirit to show you, lead you, guide you, grow you with that scripture? Because if you think about it, the early church didn't have, we are truly blessed with this, truly, truly. But the early church didn't have this. So who was guiding them? Who was leading them? The Holy Spirit. And so we must never lose sight on whatever scripture we're reading. It needs to be with the Holy Spirit guiding us, illuminating, teaching us. Because again, in John, when John Jesus speaks, he says, I will send the Helper. He will teach you all things. So where is our reliance? Is our reliance on the Word? Is your reliance on somebody like me speaking from the front or Andrew? You can't do that. You've got to spend your own time eating. Feeding yourself is probably the better word. Feeding yourself from the Scripture and the Holy Spirit to feed. And is fellowship important? Bible studies. I found that for many, many years I couldn't go. But now, what a pleasure. It is. It's really invigorating. It's refreshing. One of the things we need to understand is we need to have that desire to grow. Do you want to mature? Do you want to grow up to be a Christian? Okay, I didn't say that right. No, you understand what I'm saying? Because one of the things that the Lord speaks about often is that we need to grow as Christians. And to grow as Christians, we need to feed. And we need to feed on spiritual food, which is Jesus himself. You know, if you look at the world, anybody here, you grow plants, yeah, everybody here sort of has an idea how to grow flowers and seeds and plants and things like that. What happens if you put a seed in the ground, chuck a bit of water on it, and then walk away? Maybe the rain will keep it going. From this place it does, actually, but no. But in the end, you don't water it, you don't feed it. What's going to happen? You've got a stunted little plant. Is it going to produce fruit? You know, Galatians talks about we need to be in that place of accepting what Jesus says. And in 1 Peter 5, it says, is it 1 Peter 5? The fruit of the Spirit. You know, we need to, are we producing fruit? Yeah, it is Peter, isn't it? I always get that bit mixed up. But the problem is that we think we know what we need to do, and we don't feed ourselves. And what happens in the world if you don't feed yourself? Have you seen the hunger strikes? It doesn't seem to be so popular anymore. But going back in the day with the IRA and all sorts of different people, they went on a hunger strike where they refused to eat so they would die. And I think eventually people stepped back and said, feel free. But if we don't feed ourselves spiritually, we will begin to wither. We will begin to die. We will become stunted. We will not produce the fruit that the Lord wants of us. And if we're not producing fruit, who produces the fruit in your life? Do we produce spiritual fruit in our life? Who produces the fruit in our life? It's the Holy Spirit that produces that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So it's the Spirit that produces the life within us, that fruit that the Lord can use. Because if you're not actually producing fruit, how are you actually going to help anybody? You can't even help yourself. So it's a challenge. I'm not saying any of you are like that. Please, there's no stunted people here, hopefully. Okay, I'm not looking at anybody. But do we accept what God wants from us? Do we understand what God wants from us? You know, there's a lot of scripture that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has for his people. It's beyond our understanding. And it says he will do immeasurably more than we can honestly understand or even comprehend or imagine. And what happens, I believe, with a lot of us, and I know that for many parts of my life, I was in that place where I was a stunted. I was not a mature Christian. And if you're not maturing, if you're not growing, you don't know what the Lord is doing for you or can do for you, who wants to do for you. Because you're blind, or you're not listening. And in Hebrews 5, it says, that he speaks to the Hebrews and says, you are dull of hearing. And we need to start teaching you again to give you that milk for babies. And how good are babies in the Lord's kingdom? You know, when you've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, are you still in that place of maybe you need to have milk? Or are you in the place of eating meat? So my challenge is for you this morning, a challenge for me, because the Lord really put it to me that we need to be careful about where we are. We need to examine ourselves. Am I in the faith? Am I wanting to mature? And it all comes down to decision. We can't always live this righteous life. I've tried in myself, very self-righteous in my younger days. I promise you, you've never seen anything like it yet. Whew, it was good. But it lasts for how long? And then, boom, because you're doing it yourself. And what we've got to do is make a decision to say, Lord, please, I need your help. I want to live a righteous life. I want to live a holy life. Do you want to live a holy life? Do you want to live a righteous life? Do you want to live a godly life, a life that is pleasing to God? Because there's sometimes I believe that even in my own life, there are days when you think, Lord, just leave me alone for a day, please. Just you go over there and I'll go over here. Okay, because it can be tough. Because the whole time you're called to deny yourself, your own will, your own pleasure, your own flesh, instead of accepting God's will. And the thing, sometimes we think God honestly doesn't know what's good for us. So we're inclined to put him to one side. But God knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what he wants of us. Are we prepared to submit to his will and say, Lord, thank you. I want to do this, but I'm not capable. You know, Paul himself, he says, yeah, I'm not capable of doing this, but God's grace, the Holy Spirit is there for me. He will be strong when I am weak. And all it takes is that decision in here to go, okay, let's do this. It's a simple decision. Very difficult one. Because we don't like giving up who we are. But you know, you can't walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit. You cannot see what's going on in the spiritual world. You cannot discern what the Lord wants from you. You cannot discern and see what he has in place for you. You know, and for me, there's sometimes I believe that in my earlier life, definitely, I was a stunted Christian, expecting to produce fruit, expecting to be somebody I wasn't. And the Lord looks at you and goes, I can't use you. Do we want to be used of the Lord? Do we want to be in that place where God has got something for you? And I believe that he has. I believe he has so much more for us that we don't honestly understand. And we're not producing fruit. We all understand what I mean by fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. In other words, I was sharing with somebody not so long ago, and they have a definite lack of patience. And I said, well, he said, no, I can't deal with this. I said, well, no, you can't. I can't deal with it either. None of us can deal with being impatient. Anybody here impatient? No, all right, don't. No. Okay. But you know, it's not you that does it. It's you that says, Lord, I want you to deal with this impatience in my life. And what is the first thing the Lord will do? It's when you're late to come to church and you get stuck behind somebody doing 40 miles an hour and the 60 mile. Yeah, patience. But you know, the problem with patience, you say, Lord, give me patience, but I want it now. And you know, you cannot function like that, but it's that decision to say, Lord, I want you, please, to help me. I'm prepared to submit my will to you. You know, if we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to see what the Lord wants. It needs to put aside our own will, deny ourselves, pick up our cross and say, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. You know, I shared week before last, about following Jesus. If anybody would follow, and it's your choice in the end. If you're born again, you're Spirit-filled, hallelujah. I believe that you're saved. It all depends on what you do with what you've been given. But I think to an extent, we need to make sure that we feed on the Lord. And we need to walk, live, think, have the same attitude as Jesus, because that's who we need to be feeding on. When we read the scriptures, what is this scripture all about? What is the atonement all about? What is the blood all about? What is the flesh all about? It's all about Jesus' sacrifice for us, who has sacrificed himself that we can be redeemed. We've been taken from the darkness and put into light in God's family. What a privilege. But there are times when I must admit, in my previous life, where I've woken up and think, is that actually a privilege? I'm sure I could do this better. But you know what? Man, I won't even go into the mess that I ended up in. You know, we sometimes, I think I may have shared this before, but you know, Psalm 23, verse 5 says, the Lord prepares a table before us. In other words, you can visualize this banquet in front of you with everything you could want to eat or drink. And we're staying over here dying of hunger and thirst because, no, look, you know, maybe I've got a better place over here. But the Lord has done it for us. And all we need to do is go, thank you, Lord, and accept it. Say, my will be put aside. I'll accept your will. How do we know what the Lord wants? Do we honestly understand sometimes what the Lord wants for us? Not of us, forget that. Wants for us. He has so much for us. And I think sometimes we lack because we don't ask. We lack because we don't understand. We lack because we're not prepared to submit our will to the Lord. You know, the Israelites, they lived on the manna, but they died. And we're talking about the true bread of heaven. And that bread of heaven will give us eternal life. Jesus himself, there's a lot of promises that say, when you eat of the bread, I will sustain you. I will give you eternal life. I will keep you. I will look after you. And it's all about Jesus. And we need to focus on him and him alone. And you know, if we don't feed, we're going to die. And my concern as a Christian is if we're not feeding on him, we eventually will begin to starve. We'll eventually get weak and wobbly. And the potential for you to be led astray or taken out by the enemy is very good because you lack that spiritual strength, that spiritual understanding, that spiritual faith, that trust in the Lord. And we make ourselves vulnerable. And I see people falling away after 40, 50 years. They fall away. I'm going, why? And I believe they have not been feeding on the Spirit. They have not been feeding on the Lord and allowing him to change them, to grow them. And we need to be very careful we don't get there. So I want to encourage you to persevere. You know, in fact, maybe I should read it. This is not a condemnation thing. It's what the Lord has been speaking to me to test. Where am I at? Am I actually in that place where I am seeking the Lord? Seeking him, truly seeking, putting my will aside and allow his will in my life. And what happens is when we get like that, I want to read to you Revelation because I do want to encourage you. I don't want to be in a place of condemning anybody, please. It's the encouragement saying the Lord knows who you are. And when we look at Revelation 3 verse 8, I'd like to read it. It's when he's speaking to the church at Philadelphia. He says, I know your deeds. See, I've set upon you before you an open, I've set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. For you have a little power and have kept my word and have not renounced or denied my name. So he's talking about Christians who have followed him. But he says, yeah, take note. I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, he's talking about the Jews, I'll make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. And this is what he says, because you have kept the word of my endurance, my command to persevere, I will keep you safe from the hour of trial, that hour which is about to come upon the whole inhabited world to test those who live on earth. I am coming quickly. Hold tight what you have so no one will take your crown. And, you know, recently, I think most of you are aware, I lost my brother-in-law. We go back 50 years, I don't know, a long time ago. And it makes you realize that in the scripture it says we are a vapor. You know, and Isaiah talks about the grass and the flowers. They wither and die and blow away. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. And it's in that time while you're here, we need to seriously look at what we've got. You know, the Lord has given us the saving grace. And so I want to encourage you to persevere in seeking the Lord. Look for him, because he will be found. You know, Jeremiah says, call on me and I will answer you. Seek me with all of your heart and you will be found of me. And I think as we get older as Christians, we start to lose sight of what we are really meant to be doing and what we hear we're all about. And that is, we hear about Jesus. That song, I Speak Jesus. Do we? We can sing it. Is it in here? You know, so this morning, that is what I have to do, is that if for example, I've had to realize that I am in some areas malnourished, because it's easy to read without hearing, if you understand what I'm saying. We can read till our heart's content, but are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts so that we have an understanding and a knowledge and we grow? Are we maturing? And if we haven't, like, as far as I'm sure all of you have got that available to you, we can pray, we can repent and say, Lord, please help me. And the Lord is there. Just like when Peter was going out, said, Lord, help me. The Lord reached down and picked him up. And we're all there. Because for me, I think it's important that we need to be aware of who we are and who looks after us. And so I just ask, are we spiritually hungry? Are you spiritually hungry? Or are you satisfied with what you have? Because quite often your satisfaction comes from the world around you. And we need to be very careful that we're looking for the Lord. So, I've gone a bit longer, but you know, Andrew kept me there. So I just want to, I'd like to close in prayer, but to encourage you to genuinely examine yourselves. You know, Paul, when he talks about Jesus handing out the bread and the wine, he says, do this in remembrance of me. But he says, examine yourself. Have a look at where you are. Are you walking in the faith? Are you walking where the Lord wants you to? And this is, don't misunderstand me. I'm not there yet. I'm like Paul. I haven't nearly achieved. I'm not there yet. But I've got to just focus and say, Lord, I've got to keep going. And as you get older, it doesn't get easier. Just hate to warn you about that. Hey, Bernie. You wouldn't know. Sorry. But it does. Whether you like it or not, it gets more difficult as you get older. When you're young, strong, and bulletproof, it doesn't really matter too much. But maybe you don't understand what the Lord has for you. So, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Holy Spirit, we pray, please, that you would touch each and every heart here, Lord, to show us who we are, where we are, and what it is that we need to be doing, Lord. What it is we need to be seeking from you, Lord. Where we need to be taking ourselves off our own throne and allowing you back onto your throne where you deserve it, Lord. And Lord, I know that what you have for us is only good. That is far beyond our expectations and understanding. You have so much more for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be in a place where we are growing, where we are mature, Lord, where we can accept what it is that you have for us. So I want to thank you for this morning, Lord. Pray that you'd speak to us during the week, Lord. Just let us see what it is you desire of us. So I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, worship you, and glorify you. Amen.